From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
This Tuesday morning version of the Oxford Exxon Podcast, Chase Parm, Neil McCready, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. We are in the couple weeks of really just the dog days of summer. Not a lot going on the frontal version, at least, but a little peripheral stuff going on the message board this morning. Neil goes into some scuttlebutt, some rumors flying around, some truth as well regarding the NCAA investigation with Ole Miss, regarding the legal situations that are playing out around the NCAA investigation with Ole Miss, and more. So check out rebelgrove.com for that. Also, Ben Fleming, Ole Miss baseball strength coach, yesterday confirmed to rebelgrove.com he is leaving to take a director of strength coach position at UNC Wilmington. He'll be in charge of at least basketball and baseball over there. I'm not really sure what else, but appears to be a promotion from the standpoint of title at least. So he and his wife Alexis, who is also in Ole Miss Athletics as a type of coordinator for event services, headed to Wilmington, North Carolina. So we'll discuss that a little today. Have no idea who they're bringing in to replace Ben. I do know, though, he was very integral because he was kind of a baseball specialist strength coach, and it's a sport that requires so much repetition and a marathon of a season where you need someone that understands the body for that, not just an assistant football guy who comes over to train baseball players. There is a specialization that's needed for baseball, and Ben had that.
And teaching those skills, as I can tell you from trying to work with the 10-year-old who desperately wants to become Anthony Rizzo tomorrow, is hard.
Anthony Rizzo tomorrow?
Preferably.
Could be Friday, but tomorrow would be good.
You wait till Saturday if necessary. But
I mean, that's when the next game is. That's the one that matters.
Right now, everything in his life is, let's just say Carson would be willing to put in the 18-hour workday. Right now, there's no question about that. When people say the young generation won't work, I know one that will, to the point of it driving you insane.
So we'll see if this tempts you. I know you're not a sweet person, but when you head on over to the
you're
area,
not a sweet person,
you don't like sweets.
Sweets,
food wise, dessert.
I can be a kind, nice person.
Well, kind and sweet are not the same thing.
No, my mother used to say, "Be sweet," and I used to say, "I don't want to be sweet."
You can be cordial.
I can be cordial. And I would like a good cordial sometime.
Can be socially acceptable, but
I do okay in social settings. I'm okay. I'm not great, but I'm okay.
You went to a party with 400 people the other day.
I did. It was so loud you couldn't hear anything, so it was great.
There were so many people you were alone.
There were so many people that I was alone, and it was so loud that conversation was not possible. Like, literally, you would see people just, like, leaning into each other's ear and stuff. It was, you know.
So, when you head on over to the Oxford Exxon, Oxford Crystal area town on Highway 6 West, now they've got, for the summer, we used to sell ices in the winter, but now in the summer,
I know,
we're doing Kool-Aid slushes.
I know. So, you haven't been listening to the beer garden.
Yeah, I heard. But, hey, I'm just getting all the information. We're getting moved over
and
on
the,
what we're talking
about. And the
mocha. We got green apple. We got grape for the slushes. They're made with Sprite.
Yeah, I love grape slushes. Like green apple, fine.
You like grape?
Love grape.
See, grape is my least favorite artificial flavor.
I love grape.
By far my least favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
But you like the sour apple?
No, I like, well, just in general, artificial flavors. Mm-hmm. I like strawberry, banana, and lime.
I love lime. Like strawberry, fine.
I know your banana thing.
I'm anti-banana.
Yeah, I used to get made fun of in college because I would get those. It's in Walmart or Kroger or wherever. I don't remember now. And it was these budget saver popsicles. And it was these banana popsicles. And you got like 72 of them for $1.50 or something.
Yeah.
But they were incredible. I loved those things when I was in school. Also, you get hand-spun milkshakes now. You get those chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, and Oreo. So a couple things there to get you into the summer months when you get a little warm outside. I think we're going to get storms for much rest of the week, but it's got some high temperatures, got some humidity, so check out a green apple or a grape slush or a hand-spun milkshake when you go over into that area. And maybe you're arriving in a new car you got from Clark Ford.
That would be a grand idea. And if you'd like to do that, call Clark Ford, 662-257-1900. The Clark Ford Studios are in Oxford. And I think Corey would really like some of the new artwork. But Clark Ford's in Amory, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. And then it's up to you. You can take the quote, shop it around, spend the rest of your summer talking to car dealers, or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many podcast listeners all over the South, and that is take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. It's nice and simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. You get a great vehicle, great service after the sale, all of that at Clark Ford. You will be pleased with your purchase and with the aftermath of your purchase as well. 662-257-1900. And at the end of your deal, tell Corey, hey, I heard about the dealership on the podcast. You can mention the Oxford Exxon podcast, obviously. You can also mention the Beer Garden podcast. I'll be taping one of those today. A lot going on in the NBA, NBA draft coming up. John Hamm will join me. We'll talk from the franchise in Oklahoma City. We'll talk about all of the goings on in the NBA. Should be a lot of fun. You hear that one tomorrow. So mention either podcast, $500 off the bottom line at Clark Ford in Amory. A little programming note, Barrett Salee will join us on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline tomorrow. Andy Staples will join us on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline on Friday. We're working on something for Thursday, but I don't want to overpromise. It's never a good thing to do. Just working on that. So they'll join us on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline, the Rebel Locker Room, West Jackson Avenue in Oxford, the place to go to get all of your officially licensed Ole Miss gear, all the colors, all the styles, everything you want for the upcoming football season. You can get it right there at the Rebel Locker Room. Ole Miss football season tickets available at olemisstix.com. That's olemisstix.com.
So from a technological standpoint, my life flashed before my eyes this morning when I got out of the car.
Oh, God. What happened?
Well, take a guess.
Your phone fell to the pavement and bounced around, and you thought, oh, God.
You're on the right track, but it actually would have been much worse.
When you were afraid it was going to fall down a gully thing.
I was getting out of my car, and my computer slipped out of my hand, hit the road, and bounced basically into the gutter before I grabbed it.
Right out here?
Yes, right outside your house. I always kind of park because I line up on Neil's street. In case his wife hasn't left yet, she can get out. So I pull right to kind of the edge, and there's the little gutter right there next to it, kind of like that it comes out of. And, yeah, the computer was going basically down when I was able to snatch it. It would have gone into the drainage under the street.
See, I can't even make fun of you here because
that would have been like a farmer's insurance commercial, how they always do the, hey, we've seen a lot of things.
Yeah.
That's one right there.
I mean, if that happened to me, I would have a nervous breakdown. If that happens to you... My anticipation is that for the rest of the day, you would just be sitting out on the...
After I borrowed your computer to go to Apple.com.
Yeah, you would just be sitting on the front porch, sucking your thumb in a catatonic state, and I would actually feel sorry for you. I'm glad that didn't happen.
And it actually works, too. I opened it up. There's no problems. We appear to be fully functioning.
Well, it's a sign that maybe this particular Tuesday is going to be a good one for you.
Maybe so.
Might want to obey the speed limit. You might have already... The other thing is you might have already had your break for the day.
I've used my nine lives for the day. Yeah. So it's
your fortune, your good fortune quota has been used. Well, I'm glad it didn't break because that would have been, God, you would have had a nervous breakdown. And I get it. I would have too. So I'm not. That's not me making fun of you.
Yeah, I just, man. There's no podcast today. My computer fell down a gutter.
It's amazing how dependent we all are.
We talked about this the other day.
Like my mom, God bless her. Frankly, if I make it to 74, I'm going to brag about being 74. So she's 74. And a lot of people her age will be like, oh, young people today are so dependent. She goes nowhere without her phone. No one does.
How does she do texting?
She texts.
Good? Well?
Yeah, pretty damn well.
Okay. Yeah, my grandmother...
To the point where I want to go, stop texting.
My grandmother, like, paragraphs, just can really text it up. I'm like, that's impressive. I'm I mean, obviously a little easier now than it would have been like on the old Nokias when you had the you had to like hit the button three times to get to the letter, or either use the predictive text where people had confused everybody because they didn't know what word they were going to. For older people, that was a really a problem. But
what's amazing to me is Caroline. She's 14.
Yeah.
I can say to Caroline, like, we're driving in the car, and she'll be in the car with me. Hey, send the text to your mom or send the text to your grandmother, whatever, saying this. And it's like a litany of things that I want to say in the course of someone has an appointment, someone has, you know, tags. And 5 seconds later, she's like, okay. I'm like, wait, what? You texted all that already? Yeah. Let me see it. Son of a bitch.
You're impressed with her speed.
Blown away by the speed.
It's fair. We have Barrett Salee says this morning that, you know, Alexa, we've been talking about Alexa, is now paired up with SiriusXM.
Yeah, one of the things we're going to talk to Barrett about is the SiriusXM app and Alexa, because Barrett is completely enamored.
Okay.
He's totally, I haven't even talked to him about it. You can see it on Twitter. I don't think it's lip service. I think he's kind of in love.
He's a less creepy version of the movie where they fall in love with the device.
I mean, Barrett's a really normal dude. He's got other things in his life. He's a fairly, I think he's probably more grounded and balanced than most. But he has a thing for Alexa. I doubt if his wife is overly jealous. But he loves him some.
Alexa's the new kid in town. Like she's the new girl that's just as hot as Siri, but has moved to town and has got the mysterious part about her too now. I mean, that's where it is. Like she's moving into high school with a little cash, a little family money.
Yeah, it sounds like she's sexier than Siri and also a little smarter than Siri.
Oh.
Maybe can do more tricks.
Because Siri was girl next door, wholesome, homecoming queen.
Yeah, Siri's not sneaking out at 2 in the morning.
Alexa's causing havoc.
Alexa's saying, yeah. Yeah, I'll go skinny dip in the pool. Why not?
That's a good point. Anyway. All right.
Does Alexa look good naked? Anybody know? No one knows.
The odds are overwhelming, right?
I don't know.
I had nowhere there. Okay. Again, readrebelgrove.com. A lot of stuff going on. Post made this morning. Just go there. Really nothing to necessarily get into. Just kind of telling you.
Yeah, you just need to read it. It's one of those things. We know there are a lot of rumors out there. There's some that we can kind of address. There's some that we really can't yet. Some of the this could go any number of directions. And I end it by saying this. And Chase, if you disagree with this, feel free to jump in and go, I think you're wrong.
It'll sure.
Actually make for a better podcast. I have a feeling you're going to agree.
Okay.
If someone tells you emphatically, with no margin for doubt, that this NCAA case is going one way or the other. If they tell you, oh, Ole Miss is going to get off. Everything's going away. The whole second NOA is falling apart. The NCAA is going to walk away with its tail tucked between its legs. Or if they tell you, man, it's over. Ole Miss is getting hammered. They are going to get hammered. The program's getting shut down. Either of those two things.
I disregard them immediately.
Are cheerleading. It's cheerleading.
Well, it's hyperbole.
It is, but it's cheerleading. It's either you want to see Ole Miss get off because, God, you love the Rebels, or you want to see them hammered because, God, you hate the Rebels. The truth is, and I know this is a very frustrating thing for fans who are like, I pay you for information. I can't tell you what's going to happen. I can't.
Well, there are too many variables. There's no way to know what's going to happen because I can't predict 14 different actions between now and then.
Exactly. And
it's the book. It's the little which way do we go children's book. We're on page 3, and we've got to make 17 decisions to get to the end of this book. Well, I can't predict what the 4-year-old is going to go through all the way through the book, left or right.
The next big page in this book is going to be written by the NCAA. they're either going to back away from some of what is in the second NOA, at which point, well, we'll have a really good idea of where this thing is headed, or they're going to stick to it. And they're going to say in their response to Ole Miss's response, one that is due on roughly July the 23rd, it could be the 25th, whatever, but in that range of time, they have to respond. And that response is either going to be, yeah, we're backing away, or nope, we read your response. Essentially, we think you're full of it, and we're moving forward with this. We've got evidence. This is where, as I said this morning, and when I posted, I'm going to say it again here, this is where I remind you, this is not a court of law. There is no judge up there going, well, nope, gavel. This is
a system where Dan Wolken, who has at least a positive feeling for the NCAA, admits that the eventual penalty could be dependent on what the committee had for lunch that day, quote unquote.
Yes.
From an NCAA supporter.
Yes. So when people say this is how this is going to go, I'm just going to tell you, and I know that when someone tells you, someone who puts red and blue glasses on every day tells you it's all going to be okay, you want to believe that. It might be. And I know that when other people that have a vested interest on the other side of this give their people assurances that, oh, it's going to be really bad. No one knows. I'm telling you, there's, as Chase said, there are too many variables. There are too many question marks out there. No one knows where this is going. And frankly, there's more doubt today, which if you're an Ole Miss fan is a good thing. There's more doubt today than there's been in a long time. But there's absolutely nothing. Let me say this again. This could sound negative. There is nothing stopping. Nothing. No, all the greatest attorneys in the world, all of the filings and mailings and legal manipulations in the world cannot stop the possibility that the NCAA says, you know what? Lewis isn't a perfect witness. He doesn't have to be. We believe enough of what he said. Here are these allegations. We present them to you, Committee on Infractions. We went through this process. We got an immunity interview. He's a kid. He didn't get it exactly right. But you know what? Ole Miss cheated, and you should hammer them. And there's nothing stopping the Committee on Infractions from going, you know what? Bang. There's nothing. And so all the people, well, these attorneys are going to stop that. They might. This is not a court of law. This is not a criminal case. This is not even a civil case as it pertains to Ole Miss and the Committee on Infractions. This is a part of an NCAA bureaucratic process.
It's a crap process.
It's a joke. It's a total and complete joke. But for the people who think, if you're putting all of your faith in attorneys stopping this, you're setting yourself
up. It is an interesting deal, though, because as it mounts and it goes on and on by the day, some pretty dang good attorneys starting to get involved. I mean, you've got an insane amount of pressure on people suddenly.
Yes.
More than you can. You try to put yourself in an empathetic state of, wow. I mean, if you're that investigator or that NCAA person or you're anybody that maybe has gotten any correspondence here, you look at that at least for a minute and go, hey, what did I do or not do? We sure here, guys? Because this is getting hairy.
Bottom line, did Leo Lewis lie? Did Leo Lewis knowingly lie?
That is the question.
Did Leo Lewis lie at the behest of others who coached him to lie, and how specifically to lie? Those are rumors. I don't know that to be true. I know there's smoke out there. But sometimes smoke is just, you know, just some residual smoke. And sometimes there's a great big ass fire. I don't know. But if you're the NCAA, you want to figure that out. And there's a difference between Leo Lewis getting something wrong
and lying.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, strict scrutiny when you try to prove defamation and libel and all those things against, you know, famous people or celebrities or whatever. It's not necessarily even that the act is malicious. It's that the act was malicious with the intent to be malicious.
Absolutely.
They had to be wrong, know they were wrong, yeah. and do it for detrimental purposes.
If I ask you details of something that happened 2 years ago, there's a chance you're going to get some details wrong.
I have no shot, probably.
But there's a difference between you. If I ask you about something that happened 2 years ago and you outright tell me a lie with the intent to harm me.
Well, yeah, if I...
It's where Leo... It's
if I called you... I mean, if you and I were sitting here and for some reason we got called into somebody and they go, hey, we're going to interview you. I need to know some stuff. I need you to recount your entire day, the day that Ole Miss beat Oklahoma State in the Sugar Bowl from when you got up that morning.
You're going to get stuff wrong.
I got a shot. Yeah, I mean, but
you might miss details.
Yeah. I won't remember exactly what I ordered at Drago's.
No. Or exactly what time you were there.
Yeah. I'll probably forget that I stopped in some store at some point.
Yeah. Well, we have a recording of you, a video recording of you in Joe's cigar shop.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
You walked through Bloomingdale's on the way back. I mean.
Did you consume alcohol that day? I did. Did that impact you? You said you were there at 2. We have a video recording of you there at 3:15.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know. I told you afternoon.
Yeah.
It's why... For the NCAA, as crazy as this sounds, it's why Ole Miss put the Joker GIF thing.
Oh, there's no doubt.
In the Joker, that was Leo Lewis, in the opinion of Ole Miss, and I share the opinion, saying, gotcha. I hurt you.
Ole Miss believed it showed malicious intent.
I agree with them.
Yeah.
Now, does the Committee on Infractions, do they even dig that deep into it?
Or care?
Do they care? Had someone ask me at Carson's baseball game the other day, will they even read the whole document? I don't know. Probably skim it.
Come on.
Oh yeah. Okay. I'll ask you. You tell me because I'm the cynic. Do you believe that all 10 members of that Committee on Infractions is going to sit down and read word for word
all the responses.
All the allegations, all the responses, all the depositions, all the filings. Do you really believe that, Chase Parham? Do you really believe that?
Because we're talking 500 pages?
Minimum. So let's call it 500 just for kicks and giggles. Do you believe that all 10 members of that Committee on Infractions is going to read, I didn't say skim, I said read 500 pages of documentation? Because I don't.
How many of the 10 will?
Three.
Three? Including the head of the thing?
Sure.
Well, the head of the thing, if you don't, I mean, how are we even going to run a process?
You have more faith in stuff than I do, pal.
So you don't even think the dude from Xavier is a guarantee to read this thing?
I don't think there's one damn guarantee on the bunch, no. And so if you're asking me to go with numbers, I'll go three.
Okay.
Four on a great day. And if you told me one or zero, I wouldn't even blink.
I'd only make you go crazy if I said eight or nine or seven or something like that.
I'd tell you, you are out of your freaking mind.
Yeah, it's not like they're all going to sit in a room a day before and have a table read. So,
well, further, you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I spent 3 hours, quote, reading Ole Miss's response. And as you know, because you were on the phone with me for part of it, we were skimming at times.
When I knew the answer already, I moved past it. Yes. If it was an old allegation, I went, I'm good. Yeah. I've seen it.
Only on a handful of things did we stop and read every word. And we gave it more of a read than the people who said 10 minutes in, here's everything you need to know from the second NOA. Man, really?
That's my favorite part of these things.
I'm 15 pages into this thing.
It's absolutely my favorite part.
And that was 3 hours. I gave it 3 hours.
3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I did. I can honestly say, if anybody at Ole Miss goes, hey, you got to read it first. I did.
Yeah. All right. As we keep going on today's podcast, a little different version here. I've been telling you about MasterCuts for a while. It's working. Appreciate the guys that are giving MasterCuts a shot. You can always do that and get a little free cut there when you sign that annual contract. But they're also proud to present a new partnership now with Spray South. for other customers, a new service where they've been requesting for some time, starting immediately, Skeeter Beaters, ready to eliminate the pesky mosquitoes that prevent you from enjoying your back porch every afternoon and the 28 diseases they carry. They vow to provide the same great customer service as parents' companies are built upon. Products designed to last 3 to 5 weeks, depending on the weather. They offer single application pricing starting at $60, as well as seasonal packages serving all of North Mississippi. So if you're a business in Grenada with an event, a school in Olive Branch with a game, or if you're just a family in Tupelo or Amory looking to enjoy some dinner on the porch, give Skeeter Beaters a call, 662-607-7773, a part of MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape.
I hate those damn things. Not Skeeter Beaters, but the Skeeters.
Yeah.
I hate them.
Well, Skeeter Beaters can beat the Skeeters.
They need to be defeated.
Okay.
Registration for Oxford Park Commission Youth Soccer for the fall 2017 season is currently going on through July the 7th. Cost is just $55 per child. There is a multi-child discount available. Age range is 4 to 16. It's classified via year of birth. This year's season begins in late August. It runs through October. Schedules will be posted 2 weeks before the season starts. Games will be played at FNC Park. The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. His site is harryalexander.com. You can send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have 3 attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website at msbnkr.com or search for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Gambrell & Associates handles Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800.
So a little more, just going to wrap up this topic again. Ben Fleming headed to UNC Wilmington to join the Seahawks. It's not just baseball, kind of an overall director job for, I think, the Colonial Athletic Association, if I have that correct. Neil, come on. You do this for a living. Come on. What conference then?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Aren't they pretty good at basketball? Aren't they normally pretty good?
They're normally pretty good.
Kind of a tournament team-ish most years?
Yeah. They're a threat to be a 16 seed every year.
Threat to be a 16 every year?
They are. They win their league, I think.
I'm looking it up just to make sure I'm right. Colonial Athletic. They went 16-8 in the Colonial Athletic Conference this year.
CAA.
Yeah, that is correct. Just ahead of Rutgers and USC in the RPI at 138. Baseball, not basketball.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Rutgers not anywhere close to a top 100 team in basketball.
So Oregon State's for real, huh?
Well, 56-4 is typically good.
They beat LSU like a dog.
Beat LSU in Omaha with the LSU wearing the snazzy gold jerseys.
It is a good look.
Oh, it's a great uniform. You
got it. Come on. You guys out there can hate LSU all you want, but sometimes they bust out a uniform combo that is just downright sexy.
I was talking to Dylan last night about lines and different things. He goes, well, you know, LSU's wearing the gold uniforms. I said, well, that helps. That makes me.
It would make me play better.
Last night didn't play better. 11-1, I believe, was the final. Here's your stat. Oregon State this year, 2 separate 23-game winning streaks.
That's just... It's hardly possible.
Major college baseball.
In any baseball.
Yeah.
You could stack a damn little league team and they'd lose 1 out of 23.
They're 56-4. They have losses to Ohio State, was their only non-conference loss. And then they lost a game to Washington, a game to UCLA, and a game to USC. That's it. All year.
They just destroyed LSU.
They're doing all this without Heimlich. They didn't even bring the best pitcher to the park.
Just unreal.
I still feel like the pitching catches up at some point, right?
Well, they're running out of time to catch up. I hate to break this to you.
They have the number one RPI in the country. They're 14-0 against the top 50 this year.
That's kind of good.
That's decent. They're outscoring opponents by 4 runs a game. They average 6.2 runs a game, and they give up 2.2 runs per game.
As a rule, that's a good thing.
23 straight wins, 17 straight home wins, 4 straight road wins.
If you don't win this year, odds are you just ain't ever winning.
Well, they have 2 titles already. The one in 06 and 07, maybe back-to-back, something like that.
Yeah.
Pat Casey, interesting guy. He was not – I mean, Oregon State was not overly good when he first took the job. Lost for a while, and then all of a sudden got hot. And when he got hot, they've been a national power in a strange place ever since then. Yesterday in the other game, Florida State eliminated Cal State Fullerton. Yeah, look at this right here. So this is interesting. Pat Casey, his first year in Corvallis was 1995. He went 14-16, then 14-10, then 18-6, and 15-9. Was real good. Had 4 good seasons.
Yeah.
And then starting in 99, 7-17, 9-15, 11-13, 10-14, 7-17.
Wow.
Didn't get fired.
Wow.
10-14 didn't get fired. And then 19-5 College World Series, 16-7 College World Series title, 10-14, but got in College World Series title.
Wow.
Back to back after a 10-14 Pac-12 season. And then at that point, you have job security for your life.
Yeah, you're not firing him now.
I don't care what he does ever. He's been back to the College World Series a couple more times. Missed the postseason completely last year. It's a finicky game.
Of course it is. It's
a finicky game.
Of course it is.
So,
it might be the most unpredictable game of the major sports.
College baseball or just baseball in general?
Baseball in general.
Yeah.
But college baseball in particular.
Yeah. So today we have TCU A&M in a loser's bracket game. And then we have Florida against Louisville in a winner's bracket game tonight.
You said Florida Louisville.
I did.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah. Brady Singer, I'm assuming, will be on the mound for the Gators. Draft eligible next year.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah. Fiery. Did you see his fit the other day?
No.
They had some rain delays or whatever, and he comes back out and he's pitching, and the umpires call it off again, and he knows that another break's going to end his day.
Yeah.
So he goes off on this tirade of F-bombs on the field as he's been walking off. Like, he has to be dragged off the field by teammates.
That's good for him.
He's F-bombing the umps all the way to the dugout. Good.
He's my new guy.
Pissed off. Wants the ball. Now let's play. We're fine. Give me the ball.
Yeah. I had to get on Carson. I didn't get on him. I kind of laughed. We were playing the other night. We couldn't get out of the last inning. We were playing a team from Batesville that was really good. They've probably been together since they were like toddlers. And we couldn't get out of the last inning, so we had to bring him back in. And he strikes out the last 2 hitters to get out. We're losing like 6 runs, okay? And he's coming off the field banging his chest. And I'm like, we're losing by 6, but okay.
It's the equivalent of the touchdown celebration now, 49-10, yeah. Isn't it?
Carson has no problem with the guy that celebrates the touchdown down 5 touchdowns.
You got in the end zone.
Got in the end zone, by God.
At some point, you're going to have to rein him in.
Yeah, I'm going to have a discussion about it. Carson does things.
Is it ever directed at another kid?
No. Okay. No, it was never directed.
Because he's fairly mild-mannered. From that standpoint.
Couldn't be nicer to other kids.
Yeah.
It was not directed at anyone. Their coach kind of glared at him, and I was like, he's a kid. But it was directed. It was nothing but self-celebration.
Banging his chest.
Just 2 bangs. You know, got him. Yeah, and I was laughing. No, if he directed it at another kid, I'd snatch him off the field that moment.
Yeah.
We'd have a life lesson.
Yeah.
He did get pissed at the umpire. That was funny.
But no, bottom line, I mean, Ole Miss needs to find another person that's well-suited with baseball programs, not just an overall strength person. They'll figure it out. I have absolutely no idea. So I'm not up on my strength coach community. But
no,
Ben's been very valuable. He's been good.
If it's like football strength coaches, whoever it is.
We'll be better than Ben.
Be better than Ben, and we'll have the newest, most sophisticated schemes, and he'll be the best ever.
Yeah.
His guys will be bigger, stronger, and faster than anybody else's guys until he leaves, and then the new guy will be better than him.
Strength Coach 101.
That is Strength Coach Football 101.
You or I could take over the strength program, and there would be fans going, hey, got some plans.
For at least a couple of weeks.
Yeah, got some plans.
God, he
they're going to run. They're going to bench press.
He knows a lot of kickboxing. He He really does. That's going to really help linebacker play. You watch.
That was one. That's what a lot of – there were some programs a few years ago that tried to take up yoga for a while, thinking that would help. They did yoga during the day.
Yoga and Pilates, right?
Yeah,
a lot of people do Pilates.
Yeah.
You ever looked at those Pilates machines?
Or yoga
Pilates,
you can combine it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Those Pilates machines look like they would hurt.
I mentioned this yesterday. Just thought about it more than anything else. And for once, we're really not even being derogatory or making a joke or anything, but we got a lot of play for our play on words on yesterday's podcast regarding writers and the Patino situation and whatnot. I pointed out Parrish yesterday, pointed out some other people, because I think, maybe you can't because of your title. I'm just kind of talking here. Not giving a pass because you're still writing it. Do you kind of bypass Forty's opinions on Patino since they are literally in business together? Forty helped him write a book. It's a whole different deal where you've really got a conflict of interest to even have an opinion.
Yes. I'm frankly surprised that Yahoo let him write it.
The book?
No.
Yeah.
Report on this particular case.
Yeah.
It's not a. I don't criticize him for writing the book. Okay.
Yeah, no.
He probably made money. In our field, if you can make money, make money. I mean, people are laying people off left and right. I don't begrudge Pat Forty for writing a book about Rick Pitino or with Rick Pitino. I don't. Other people do. I don't.
Well, no, not even a little bit.
But once you've written that book, and it was a favorable book, once you've written that book, I don't think you can cover... You can't cover the program anymore. You can't cover the guy anymore. Unless you write a column that says up front, look, I wrote about this guy. I know this guy. I'm vouching for this guy. Okay, that's fine. Somebody else writes the column about the actual case. So people say, well, you guys should write a book about this Ole Miss thing. And I know what they mean. We know a lot. We wrote a book.
As it would be interesting.
As I've said, at the end of that book, a handful of things. One, it would be fascinating. Two, I'd have to move. Three, there would be no way, literally, that I could do this job anymore. The day that we hit the publish button on that book, I have to move on to new things. Couldn't then turn around and cover Ole Miss football.
No.
Because a lot of what would, not a lot, but some of what would be written, if you were to truly write this book, the way I really think this whole thing has unfolded, you'd have to take a lot of shots at a lot of people. You would have to write a lot of negative things about a lot of people, including a lot of people at Ole Miss. No way around that, unless you just want to be a sunshine pumper, at which point the book sucks. That's like one of the guys out there that's talking about writing a book. If you're going to write one side of a book, your book's going to suck. Now, I fully anticipate that he will write one side of a book because he's so enamored with the program that he can't see straight. And there will be a handful of people who will read that and love it. There are people who watch MSNBC and love it. People who watch Hannity and love it. Those people exist in the real world. There's a reason Rachel Maddow and Sean Hannity still have jobs. If you're mainstream and you like balance and you want the truth, you're not going to like that book. When this case is over and you break it down, there is so much blame to go around. And if you don't think some of it resides in Oxford, you're out of your mind.
Flaws everywhere.
And if you think it all resides in Oxford, you're out of your mind.
A lot of people, a lot of agendas, a lot of screw-ups, a lot of sloppiness.
If some of that gets out, as I said yesterday, not the best. Somewhere Mike Slav's going, yeah, I wouldn't have let this get this far.
He's right.
Because this thing has a chance to go to a place that threatens the league.
Sankey's having a mini Southwest Conference moment and
yes.
is tweeting about nothing but hotel rooms and meals and where he goes for vacation. It is the most tone-deaf PR situation I've ever seen.
And there's a chance. Am I being hyperbolic when I say this? Because if I am, tell me. There's a chance this thing starts to threaten the integrity of the league. I talked to another journalist last night. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Who said people around the league are starting to say, hey, how do we get here? How'd this get here? Because if Leo Lewis, in his immunity interview, said things that he was instructed to say, fellas, we're in a bad place now. I'm not accusing that. I said if. I'm not completely ruling out the possibility that Leo Lewis just got some details wrong and the principals are right. That's possible. So get mad, Ole Miss, if you want to. I'm not prepared to go one way or the other. But if he got coached on what to say so that it would fit the story, that would give them the allegations, that would allow them to give Freeze and Ole Miss the punishment that they want to give them, it's coercion. That's granting immunity for the sake of coercion. Not a good look, to say the least. And from a precedent standpoint, has to be terrifying.
It's obviously been huge news, but now this hasn't for multiple reasons. One, there's a lot of writers that refuse to go into the player, refuse to call a player a liar, refuse to question the player for whatever reason. That's just kind of the way it works. How would this be handled media-wise, story-wise, blow-up, attention-wise, if it was Alabama, Auburn, and we're talking about last year Jonathan Allen being the guy?
It'd be...
times a thousand?
Yeah. But I've said this all along.
I just mean from an attention standpoint. Yeah. I know you're saying it wouldn't happen over there. But that's not really my point.
No, had it happened, it'd be crazy. Crazy. Just so much more media.
Nick Chubb, Florida. Georgia, Florida.
It'd be crazy.
Not Alabama, Auburn crazy, but another step up.
That's why, but I've said this all along, so I don't think Alabama and Auburn go after each other like this. They know better. You have to be so stupid to do it because you know if you're running one of these SEC programs, Derek Mason, God bless you. You seem like a really good coach. I'm Chase will vouch for this. I'm a fan. But if you're running an SEC program, you know it's going on. It's why I've defended Saban in this. I have, and people have gotten mad at me. I've probably cost the subscribers. Nick Saban is smart enough to know there's stuff that goes on in the LSU network, in the Alabama network, that helps procure players that he's not aware of and can't control. The last thing he wants to do is to create a scenario where people are tempted to put that publicly. That's why I don't think he played a role in this. I know other people do. I don't. I've not heard from one credible person that Saban played a role in this. Did he complain about Barney Farrar? Yes. But again, everybody complained about Barney Farrar back in 2013. So if we're going to blame Saban for that, well, you got to blame Mark Richt. You got to blame Jimbo Fisher. There are a lot of people that complained about the Ole Miss setup with Farrar. Lots. State, Arkansas. I mean, I've heard Tennessee. Lots. Lots of people complained.
Yeah, because it went against the way everybody does things.
It ruffled feathers.
Yeah, right, wrong, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. You say, well, it shouldn't have, it should have, whatever. But if you want to blame that on Saban, go for it. You got to blame it on a whole bunch of other people, too. Nick Saban's not the reason that Leo Lewis went after Ole Miss on immunity. Nick Saban did not play a role in that.
Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga, 30 years old this year. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also, the leader in the Oxford condo financing market. Ask Jason Lowe about the float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if the rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can contact Jason by email at jlowe, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com, or by phone, 662-234-2704.
Podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South Tailgating owned and operated by Kyle and Jordan Thornton. 7 South Tailgating, equipped with the largest staff in the Grove, it can service most any of your tailgating needs. They offer SEC-only packages, full-season packages, rental packages. Fans can provide their own gear, or 7 South will provide it for you. They've got complete setup, game day concierge, post-game trash removal, equipment breakdown, year-round storage, and more. They'll set up anywhere in the Grove, the Circle, or the outskirts of campus. Basically, it's this simple. If you give 7 South a try for one season, you'll never tailgate without them again. The site, 7southtailgating.com. You can reach them at 662-321-1682. The podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used them. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. It's an American standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749.
Parker Stewart headed to Pitt, Neil.
Yeah, saw that.
Kevin Stallings.
Makes some sense.
Coach at Pitt.
Yeah.
Loss for Ole Miss this year, loss for Ole Miss in the future.
Not this year, potentially a loss in the future.
Minutes this year taken by Markel Crawford?
Yeah. I mean, barring injuries, he wasn't going to get a lot of minutes this year.
Anyway, even without Crawford.
Yeah. I mean, just their backcourt's pretty full.
That's fair.
Down the road, it's potentially a loss. I don't know.
Really not a huge – it's not some catastrophe that's being made out to be by some.
No.
By any means.
No. It's basketball recruiting, man.
It's just
– it just is what it is. It's a different animal. I don't know that his dad ever really wanted him at Ole Miss. And when the Crawford thing happened, realized that there was a chance for even a red shirt, a chance for very minimal minutes, he opened his recruiting back up, asked for his release. Bill Armstrong leaving gave him an excuse. The whole thing with the Andy's not contract not getting rolled over gave him an excuse. And they took it.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah, just a lot of stuff. And so it happened. And when a kid asked for his release – I mean, you can play hardball. Not sure what good it does you. Doesn't look good. Coach, I don't want to be there. No, you have to come. Come bring a horrible attitude to my program from day one. We'll see how it works. On a year where I really need to win.
Yeah, you didn't need a chemistry problem.
So you say, okay. And you roll.
The team you think is pretty good in a conference is supposed to be pretty good.
League's going to be good. Ole Miss looks like a team that should be good. I've seen some people say they're going to be a bubble team, which is familiar.
Heard it before.
If you get in the tournament, it's a successful year and a big deal, and if you don't, there's going to be a discussion.
We've discussed pitch counts, arm situations on this podcast a lot over the last 5 years or whatever it is. I don't know. I lose count. A lot of episodes
of the podcast.
Don't really want to get into like the big minutiae of it, but you're getting another taste of Little League this year. I saw this yesterday. It was a clip. Dan Patrick, obviously Dan Patrick's show, had James Andrews on his podcast or on his show discussing little leaguers, discussing arm injury stuff more than anything else. Quick 1 minute clip here I'm going to play. Mainly just because I thought it was a very measured response. I thought that it was a response that is not going, oh, kids are terrible all the way around and you got to really control it. And then also, hey, let's quit killing them 12 months out of the year.
This is James Andrews.
This is James Andrews on the Dan Patrick show. now.
Little leaguers and, you know, how they throw, how often they throw. Because you, I'm sure, have seen a lot of these elbow injuries, and you've seen them with now younger and younger children. So a lot of parents listening to this program, is there some kind of words of advice from, you know, one of the great surgeons in history that could help us?
Well, that's certainly a problem that I see daily. I did three Tommy Johns yesterday on either a freshman in college or young high school players. And this morning I've been seeing new patients.
Wow.
And so far I've had three rooms I've been to seeing new patients. They're all 15, 16, 17 years of age that are playing year-round baseball and have injured their Tommy Johns ligament. So the big thing for parents is anybody doing an overhead throwing sport should have at least 2 months off, preferably 3 to 4 months off each year when they're not doing an overhead sport, which means they shouldn't specialize and play 12 months out of the year. Dan, one thing that I can tell them, if they're playing with fatigue in youth baseball, meaning vet fatigue, seasonal fatigue, or year-round fatigue, if they're doing that, there's a 36-to-1 times. That's a 3,600% increased chance of injuring their shoulder or their elbow playing youth baseball. So fatigue is the thing we have to prevent. And so how do we do that? That's the big question.
Man.
I mean, and look, this is a guy that's incredibly not anti-baseball. So
no, we're not going to have an argument about his...
His credentials?
His credentials are legitimacy, okay? No. No.
When it comes to elbows, you'll trust James Andrews' opinion, is what you're saying.
Elbows, labrum, shoulders. He is an absolute, unquestioned...
world leader.
Authority.
Yeah.
The authority.
If you go, well, you know, he might not know. Oh, no, okay, let's... So... It was more of just kind of telling people out here, hey, this is a guy that... knows it better than anybody. And look, 4 months off is still 8 freaking months a year. That's still a ton of baseball.
It feels like too much. I mean, I'm dealing with the 10-year-old right now. It'll be 11 in October. I'm not going to make the show about Carson. It's not about him, but he's an example who has the baseball fever right now, like a heavy case of it. To the point that he's seriously considering not playing soccer anymore. Even without a baseball home to fall to. And I've always tried to be the dad that never tell... I'm not going to tell a kid you can or cannot play a sport. You have to play soccer. I'm not the one that has to go to those practices. Not fair for me to say you have to play. Not fair for me to tell a kid, you can't do this sport. If Carson came to me and said, I want to play football, I would say, okay. Would I be pleased? No, if I'm honest. But I'm not going to, it's his life. I'm not going to stop him. He wants to play baseball, yet I don't know that year-round baseball is a great idea. I questioned it. I watched... He got his first taste of, quote, travel ball over the weekend. And I watched a travel team. I won't name where they're from. But we played them on Saturday. Those kids were not having fun. It was soulless.
They're tired.
They're sick of it. It's not what 10-year-old baseball is supposed to be. 10-year-old baseball is supposed to be fun. I think. Everybody can't be a future major leaguer. These are people's childhoods, and everything. To me, it feels like there's all these people that this kid, the whole travel ball thing, and I have a kid who wants to go try out for a travel ball team on Saturday. And I don't know the answer to all this. I'm not going to pretend to be an authority, but I do pay attention. 36 times more likely.
Yeah, that was the thing that got me was, look, give a few months off and then just watch your kids for fatigue. Be careful with them. I mean, I'm never firsthand going to have this issue. I have a daughter and it's going to be the only child we have. So I don't have to experience these, but I was been a little league coach and different things. Just watch them. The fatigue is where kids have a noticeable decline at a certain point. So stop at that point is more the point.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I'm in my own case. Look at my elbow. I mean, yeah. I have a scar.
The other morning, Carson started our first game, and he went 55 pitches. And when he came out, he said his arm hurt. I've never felt so bad in my life. Now, an inning later, he said, I'm fine. And so hurt might have just been a
– hurt and sore are two different things.
Yes. Yeah. I think he was just, hey, I'm starting to get sore. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I really don't know the answer. I know that it's my first experience, like, with all the pitch count rules and stuff. And they're set up where, like, we were supposed to play Friday night, got rained out. So we had to play three games on Saturday. The temptation in an attempt to win the damn tournament, the temptation to not even abuse a kid, but to go back to a kid because you've already burned him for the next day. So let's use him again to get through this game. It's there. I get it.
There's that competitiveness within the rules.
Yes.
But probably not the best situation for the kid.
Instead of saying, hey, does it really matter if we make it to tomorrow? Does it really matter in the whole scheme of things?
And in some ways, you're trying to win for your kid. I mean, you know, they're the competitive as hell kid, people on the field.
They want to win. Bad.
Want the little trophy when the day ends. I mean.
But if you pay attention, you'll notice 2 minutes after the game's over, they're over it. It's over.
Get my orange slices and my Gatorade, and
I'm ready to go to bed.
Yeah.
Pizza, you said?
Yeah. Hmm. All good.
Yeah.
Yeah. More pissed off when the pepperoni's gone in 10 minutes.
Yeah. Get to have an icy?
Yeah.
We're going to, I mean, seriously. We can stop by the Oxford Crystal, or we can stop by Oxford Exxon and get a slushy.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah. They got grape? Okay.
Yeah. I can get you going to let me get a crystal too? Awesome.
Now we're talking.
Can I get one of those fried chicken ones? Seriously, I mean, it's over. The game's over at that point. I get an icy. Oh, I'm good. What happened? I don't know. Beats me.
You got another game Tuesday? All right, cool.
Yeah, we practice tomorrow? Okay.
Yeah. I'll go catch some ground balls.
Yeah, I'm done. We have to go swim? Oh, cool. So you have to be careful as a coach when you're trying to win. And I'm guilty, man. I'm guilty. So I'm raising. I am not. I am. Chase is here looking at me. I'm guilty. You got to remember. But as it comes to the travel thing, like in my ideal world, Carson would play soccer this fall, and then we'd pick up baseball.
He's play soccer keeps him in shape. I mean, a lot of things.
A lot of footwork. Active. Yeah. I know what he doesn't like about soccer. I do. I know what it is. His team sucks.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. They get the hell beat out of him every time they play. There's a handful of kids out there on his team that probably don't need to be playing competitive sports. I mean, I'm probably pissing people off left and right now. I'm just keeping it real.
What's your age for something to become competitive sport versus participation sport?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I deal with a really competitive kid who does not like losing.
I think I go with 12 or 13.
Probably right.
I think anything before about 13, there are places for really, really competitive sports, but you should always have the option for participation at certain levels, and that those should stay about participation.
Yeah.
I mean, now look, there's a lot more to that because, you know, socioeconomically, some of those things aren't possible for
people. See, to me, this is where it's the difference between, like, in Oxford, you can play OPC, like, you know, Carson just played OPC baseball.
Yeah.
And there were kids on our team, quite frankly, who weren't good at baseball.
But it didn't matter.
And it didn't matter. And I would tell him all the time, well, they're not, you know, they're not out there to be the next Chris Bryant, bud. They're just out there to have some fun.
Yeah, some of my favorite kids were kids that weren't athletically gifted, but
With no exception, my favorite players on those teams are my, quote, worst players.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones.
You'll get a whole lot more enjoyment out of that one, or, you know, those few times a year when they get the hit or something. Oh, that's a much better deal than another kid that hits 8 home runs a week.
The kid who can't catch a ball and suddenly catches a fly ball, and the look on his face of, holy hell, I caught it. Yeah. Did you see that? And he looks at his mom and his dad, and he's all excited.
When Dylan was like 12, we had a kid that was just couldn't hit at all. I mean, let's be honest. And he came up last thing of a game and got a game-winning hit. Just happened, bad hits ball, and it goes in the outfield. And
highlight of season.
Yeah, you would have thought it was Chris Bryant smiling before he threw the first. I mean.
Oh, highlight of season. Yeah, absolutely. And so I said, but now when you sign up for a travel team, and it's a different commitment.
Well, that's different.
And it's a different commitment, and it's a different practice commitment.
Different expectation.
And it's a different expectation. So I don't know the fine-tuning of that.
Yeah.
And I do think sometimes, and this happens with Carson's soccer thing, well, we're not worried about scores. All right, well, the kids are. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how you know. When you're down 8-0 at the half in a soccer game.
Everybody knows you're down 8-0.
Yeah, there's no, hey, we're doing really well. No, you're not. You're getting killed.
Yeah. They keep scoring, we don't.
Yeah. You're not. So I don't know how you manage all that.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see, speaking of baseball, did you hear about the collision at home plate last night?
I have not.
So Anthony Rizzo had tripled.
Okay.
With nobody out to lead off, I think the sixth, Cubs were down 2-1.
Easy enough.
Ian Happ strikes out.
Okay.
Chris Bryant comes up and hits a kind of a sinking line drive into medium center field.
Okay.
Matt Caesar, the Padres center fielder, former Cub, catches the ball and, of course, has his momentum going towards the plate and unleashes a really good throw to the plate. The throw beats Rizzo to the plate. The catcher catches the ball and then proceeds to kind of block the plate.
Okay.
Rizzo runs him over. The catcher holds onto the ball. Rizzo's out. Catcher's hurt, leaves the game. Padres are pissed.
Okay.
There's legislation that's been put in the game, basically the Buster Posey rule, that you can't run the catcher over except the catcher's supposed to provide
a lane
to the plate. Rizzo is saying he didn't see a lane to the plate. The catcher is saying, I did provide a lane to the plate.
What's the replay show?
In between. Close. You're asking a man that's, what's Rizzo weigh, 240?
And running full speed.
Running 18-point-something miles per hour. If you've never run 18-point-something miles per hour, yeah.
18 miles an hour?
It's up to like 18.4. Go get on your treadmill and jack that puppy up to 12.5 and run for 5 seconds. And tell me that now, if you were going a third faster, that you would be able to make a split-second decision. If you slide right there, you run the risk of sliding into a wall and hurting yourself. Really a tough deal. So baseball, the Padres are basically demanding that Rizzo be suspended. They'll probably throw at him today, and we'll have one of those deals.
Which have one might, of those days.
As long as he doesn't get hurt, this is probably good for the Cubs. They probably could use a little fight.
A little juice.
Yeah, a little pissed offness. A little competitive fire.
Just don't hurt him.
Yeah, don't hurt him. I do think part of the Cubs' problem this year is they're one game over 500. I think part of it is some of the drive to get it. Well, you got it.
You got fat.
Yeah. You got the girl. You went after the super hot girl and...
You were going to the gym every day.
No, you were.
Then you got her, and you've had her for about 2 months, and suddenly that's six-pack dwindling a little bit.
Yeah.
Extra piece of pizza not hurting anybody. Yeah. She wants to have the extra glass of wine.
She wants to go get ice cream. Yeah. I like that ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next thing you know, you've packed a few on.
Oreo hand spun shake. It's fine.
Yeah.
Tastes good.
She's told you that she still thinks you're sexy.
She's lying.
She doesn't mean it, but she says it. Yeah. You convinced yourself it's true.
Then you're going to get to a point where she goes, you know, it's kind of unfair to me that you look like a slob now.
Yeah.
Just heads up.
And then it'll be time for you to pursue another title. But right now, you've got the girl.
You're early Rocky III right now when you're just hanging out and opening up your workouts to all the fans.
Yeah.
Got the music going.
Yeah, you
around.
Jump a little rope, but you're not really jumping the rope. It's all good.
We're not Russia Rocky right now.
No. You're fighting bums.
Bums.
Yeah. Mickey's fixing your fights.
He is. Making sure you keep that title a little longer. No contenders. You're beating Peter McNeely's of the world.
Peter McNeely, yeah. Yeah, there's no Clubber Lang yet.
No, you're not in the hood in L.A. with Apollo.
No. On the beach with Apollo.
The really
homoerotic.
Yeah, anti-masculine hug.
Yeah.
He gets some good footwork though in about a week there.
It's amazing.
Once he gets moving, ooh,
amazing
boy.
How he changed his athleticism. Chasing chickens.
Not in Rocky III.
No,
running
early.
On beaches.
Yeah, running on beaches, doing some drills.
Yeah, a lot of footwork, a lot of speed back.
Yeah.
A lot of moving around the ring.
Apollo really questioning your manhood.
Apollo can move around, though. We said that. I mean, Carl Weathers could dance a little.
Carl Weathers had some athleticism.
Yeah. So. All right. Podcast brought to you in part, Right Way Meds. If you're a medical provider or a doctor, let them have your compliance numbers. Big deal in today's world. You can check that out, rightwaymeds.com or 855-252-1011. You can ask for Bob or Brian. And as always, they deliver your medicine to your door. You pick up the box. It's got strip packets. Tear off the first dose of the day. Next dose ready when you are. They can really help you manage that medication and save lives in the process. So, again, in both directions, have your needed, rightwaymeds.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. It's just off Interstate 55 in Grenada. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy Grass you heard about it on the podcast. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB has the Kasasa cash checking account where they pay you 2.5% interest on your balance up to $50,000. They refund your ATM fees nationwide. There's free online bill pay and the mobile check deposit using the OUB app. Right now at OUB, the 3-year triple option CD is paying 2.01% APY. And when you exercise that, you can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if their 3-year CD rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And last but not least, the podcast brought to you by Michael Oswalt. He's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in Mississippi. Go to his site, gotland.com, got-land.com. Read his recent testimonials. Check out his track record. Look online at the properties that he has listed. The land market's really hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, or your home with acreage, now's the time. Give Michael a call, 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com.
Quick thing from ESPN here. They've got Ole Miss ranked number 4 in receiving duos for 2017 with Van Jefferson and A.J. Brown.
Yes, before you even count Metcalf. From a receiver standpoint, they're pretty loaded. I have questions about the running game, but from a passing attack, they ought to be really good.
Top 3 duos and trios all from the SEC East. It's kind of surprising.
Yeah.
South Carolina, Debo Samuel, Hayden Hurst, and Brian Edwards. Missouri, Jamon Moore and Demetrios Mason. And Florida, Antonio Callaway, Brandon Powell, DeAndre Goolsby. So, just heads up there.
Like I said, I like Ole Miss's chances to move the ball in the air. I just question whether they can get it done on the ground.
Alabama at 5 with Calvin Ridley and Robert Foster.
Yeah, Ridley's really good.
They always have receivers.
They have everything.
Yeah. Oh, so why did the Cavs fire their general manager last night?
That's a great question.
LeBron didn't look happy. That was a not very passive aggressive tweet.
There's 50 some odd hours from right now until the NBA draft. And
what are you doing?
I gotta tell you, man, there's a lot of stuff could happen. If you like NBA drama, I'm not a giant Darren Rovell fan, but he made a good point. The last 48 hours have been more exciting than the entire season. Everything's on the table.
It's not wrong.
Jimmy Butler could move. Paul George is likely to move. There's people that are questioning whether the Lakers might start clearing the cap right now for LeBron James.
Saw that.
A lot going on. Kevin Love could move.
Got a decent thing we'll do on tomorrow's podcast. I'm just seeing it here. ESPN, I'll bookmark it. It's doing the best draft picks from every NBA draft slot, like the best number one pick ever, the best number two pick ever, the best number three pick ever.
Yeah.
And including with it their career win shares, like the stats that back up why they did this.
Okay.
Pretty interesting stuff. We'll get into that on tomorrow's show. A lot of them could be guests, but there's also a few in here that surprised me a little bit as I'm just scrolling through.
I bet I know number three.
You have a hunch? You know number three?
Got a hunch. Might know number two.
Number three is the second highest win share of anyone on the list.
Ooh, who's the highest?
The overall number one pick.
Okay.
The best number one pick. Would you like to go ahead and go there?
You've piqued my curiosity.
Ready?
Yeah.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, number one. He is worth 273.4 win shares.
Kind of had a good career.
He beats out Tim Duncan, LeBron James, Oscar Robertson, and Shaquille O'Neal, 2, 3, 4, and 5 on number one picks.
Pretty good picks all there.
I mean,
as a rule, you'd take any of those five.
Good play.
Yeah. LeBron at number one was a good, solid pick.
Yeah. Number one prospect this year, obviously Markelle Fultz, after the Boston paper wrote the 7,000-word feature on him.
Boy, I tell you, I get what Ainge did. I'm fascinated to hear John Hamm later today. You'll hear it tomorrow on the Beer Garden. I love Fultz, man. To me, he's so far and away the best player in this draft. But he doesn't help Boston right now unless they were willing to trade Isaiah Thomas. And if you trade Isaiah Thomas, if you're Boston, you probably take a little step back. Is it worth taking a little step back, or do you go for it now?
Right.
Because if you're Boston and the goal is to win the NBA title, well, frankly, you should trade this pick and get Jimmy Butler, and then you should sign Gordon Hayward, and you should keep Isaiah Thomas. That's the path. Because if you're going to beat the Warriors, you got to have a super team.
Mm-hmm. Get through the East and then play four out of seven, see what happens.
If yesterday is any indication, Cleveland's about to fall apart.
So it's breaking up. You got a shot.
Got a shot.
Time to go.
And you're Boston. You're the team. Now's the time. The time to hit the button now.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah. Last night made it more likely to hit the button. The button got bigger.
Yeah, they've accumulated all these picks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know. But from a pure draft standpoint, if you're going to keep Thomas, drafting Fultz, all that's going to do is all of next year when Thomas is in a contract year is it's going to say, when's the time to hand him the keys? Right. Two-game losing streak, put Fultz in. And Boston's a huge media market, and for people that think that doesn't impact stuff, you're out of your mind.
Yeah,
it impacts stuff in Oxford. Trust me, it impacts stuff in Boston.
Right. All right. Again, good guests throughout the rest of the week. Barrett Salee, Andy Staples among those. Maybe more to you as well. So keep locked in with us. Again, if you haven't read RebelGrove.com this morning or by the time you listen to the podcast, do so. Some information, good discussion going there, as well as a little more information on Ben Fleming's departure and more at RebelGrove.com. Talk to you tomorrow.